Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Well, hello, and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Programming. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you here for the next 90 minutes. We have an extended show tonight because of the nature of the topic. It's really, really an exciting topic, and I'm so excited about being here tonight. We have been experiencing a great deal of difficulty with our phone lines, and as such, some of my co-hosts are certainly also experiencing problems. So they may or may not be able to all tune in tonight, but certainly we are certainly grateful for those who are able to get in. I don't know, since we landed on Mars yesterday, I don't know if that's got anything to do with our phone lines, but certainly I'm excited about the fact that we landed on Mars. And I, you know, maybe perhaps one day people will want to try to live there. I don't know. But that's going to be interesting to find out. I think what they're probing now is we're looking for life form, you know, on any of the out there anywhere in space, anything that reflects or represents life or form of life. I think that that's what they're looking for. So we're excited to be here tonight. I'm excited that they landed on Mars in my lifetime, and who knows where we go from here. All right, tonight's topic is, as a Christian, do we have to take life so seriously all the time? As a Christian, do we have to take life so seriously all the time? You know, I guess we start out by, let me go ahead and bring in Sir Ben this evening, one of my co-hosts. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure to have you on the air. Okay, perhaps.
Good evening. I'm connected. Good evening, sir. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you.
Oh, great, great, great. We're glad to have you. Sir Ben, let me start out by asking the question, first and foremost, you know, as Christians, should we take life so seriously all the time? But before you answer that one, what, in fact, is, in your opinion, what is a Christian? I mean, what is a Christian?
Well, today we've taken that particular question to be in many, many different ways. I mean, as you know, some people see Christianity as people who are church-going people, people who believe in God, people who are God-fearing people. And, you know, we tend to think of them as those type of people. They go to church every Sunday or every Saturday, and they just do the will of God. But we also found out that some people see Christians as the Donald Trump group. A lot of those people believe that he's a true Christian and that he's doing the will of God. So that question is of many different parts, and based on your understanding and your knowledge and your reading of the word, it will give you a definitive answer as to what a Christian is.
All right. You know, before we go any further, let's invite the presence of the Lord into our programming tonight. Father, we thank you for the multitude of blessings that you have given all of us. We invite you to the program tonight that your people will get something from this, God, according to your will, grace, and mercy. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. So let me, you know, and that's a good way of putting it, and I certainly, you know, and, you know, people interpret being a Christian so many different ways. If I'm a Buddhist or a Muslim, in your opinion, I'm not following a follower of Christ as Christianity may be defined. So does that mean that I may not go to heaven? Is there a likelihood? Can anybody else say?
Absolutely not. And it's sad that we have taken different religious denominations and we've made them seem like they are immune from being able to go to heaven. Anybody who understands what Jesus is, and as a believer, all he asks is that you just believe in him. There were many different followers of Christ in the time in the upper room. There were many, many disciples made from all sects and parts of the world, and they went out to teach that which he had given them. And so for us to say that one particular group of people are more Christian than another group of people is definitely not doing what God intended us to have and to become. He said that anyone who will take up and follow me and do my will, and so that's anyone. He wasn't specific. He said anyone. And so we have to be so careful. You know, even in our country, the United States of America, we have all types of people, and they are true believers in every form. It said every eye, there's going to be so many people who are going to be saved. There's going to be all kinds. It's just like the sand of the beach, you know. It's going to be so many people. So we got to know that there's going to be many different people that are going to be saved. Am I still connected?
Yeah. So
hello?
That's an interesting. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's an interesting viewpoint. Now let's take a look at when we talk about maybe a Buddhist. You know, my understanding of a Buddhist is someone who worships a god that they created and bow down to this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me now, I'm not judging, passing judgment on them, but I can't see myself creating a statue and call that my god, that I'm going to worship that. So I don't understand that. I just don't.
Well, okay, but we have to, okay, let's go back in time and let's remember the three Hebrew boys. And remember, they were raised in the right way. And remember when the king Nebuchadnezzar told them that when they sound the horns and the trumpets, that everybody was supposed to bow. I will tell you 100%, there were many, 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 many Christians, and I'm going to say this again, Christians who bowed. There were many. Now, do we consider these people not Christians because they bow to an idol that was made by man?
Wow. Probably there's a good likelihood that a lot of people did not. I mean, consider them to be Christians.
Well, we know that everybody bowed because had they not bowed, you know, it's a law. Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't bow, I'm gonna destroy you. And so these three
right.
Hebrew boys, they stood their ground. They said, no, we're not going to bow because the God we serve says you shouldn't have no other idols before you. So we knew
okay.
they were the only three because they were the ones that were pretty much thrown into the furnace. So that means all their brethren and sisters and people they grew up with and teachers and all those people were there. And so they were bowing. Even
mm-hmm.
though they actually called themselves as Christians.
Interesting, very interesting, very interesting. We want to hear from you all out there as well. Tonight's topic is, as Christians, should we take life seriously all the time? All the time. Press 1 on your dial. We'll be able to get to you early enough. You know, if you want to give us your definition of what a Christian is, if you want to give us your definition of how Christians should, what type of lifestyle a Christian should have. And then we're asking, and then we may pose the question on whether or not that's a judgment call. Does it a judgment call? So, Benny, let me go to you, and because I'm thinking that if you see me, if I call myself a Christian or an aspiring Christian, which is what I call myself, because I don't know if we ever get there, but if you see me coming out of the nightclub or a strip club or one of these known clubs, and you say, oh, my goodness, I recognize him. And then I'm not even trying to hide, because you can't hide from God. So does that mean that I'm such a bad person that God doesn't love me, that I can't be considered a Christian or a follower of Christ, that I disbelieve?
Again, see, I think we have too much of an expectation on what we think a person's life is supposed to be. If you just simply go back and look at the 12 disciples, Judas was one of the, I would say, one of the most honored one in the group, because he was a treasurer. He's the one that kept control of the money, even though we knew he was stealing the money. But he was the one that was over the money. Usually your accountant or person that handles your finances is usually people you hold to a little bit of a higher esteem. And look what he did. And he was there with Christ, walking with Christ, walking with Jesus, experiencing the miracles, experiencing the changes and things that were occurring. And yet still, he still had a secret sin in him. So we have to remember, we cannot judge people based on what they do. You know, I said this over time and time again, that your life is not defined, the totality of your life is not defined by the trials of your life. So what I'm saying is, you're going to have moments where you're going to slip up, you're going to fall. We were just doing a study that says, as a believer and as a Christian, sometimes you fall off the wagon. But when you fall off the wagon, you fall onto the wagon. And so let me explain that. Just because you have a fallback, or you have a flip-up, or you do something that maybe we might consider to be not Christian-like, that doesn't mean that you're not still on pace to be on the wagon to make it to the journey that you're trying to get to. So we all need grace and mercy. That's why God gave us a measure of grace and a measure of mercy, because he knew there were going to be times where we were just going to fail. Let's just be simple. That doesn't mean that we are bad people.
Right, go ahead. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we're
bad. It doesn't mean that we're bad people. It just means that we have fallacies in us, and we are constantly trying to be perfected in our walk, in our journey, to know more about Christ and to become Christ-like. Now, we can never understand the mind of God, although a lot of us try to impose our basic human knowledge about what we think and how we think God is looking at things and seeing things, but we will never be able to understand the mind of God. God has an infinite mind, and so we were not designed to understand the mind of God. We were designed to worship God and worship him in love. God is love. So that was our whole purpose for design. God wanted somebody to love him freely without any type of, boundaries and clauses. But he did give us rules.
Okay, excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, so here we are. We're going to, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to 786-210. 786-210. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
This is Marjorie Spicer.
I'm sorry? There's noise in your background. We can't hear you.
Sorry, Marjorie Spicer.
Marjorie Spicer, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you on our broadcast. Let me just ask you, what is your definition of a Christian? And we're going to ask you to, if you can be brief, because we want to get to as many people as we possibly can tonight, and we'll come back to you as well.
I do not have a definition per se. It's a wide subject. But what I'm saying quickly, I agree to everything that this gentleman just said. I'm of the same lineage. We, as believers, we are saved by grace, undeserved favor, unmerited favor, nothing we deserve. And as we go on this journey, we are going by God's grace and mercy. And through faith, and it's just his grace and mercy. We are not servants of sin as believers. And I agree totally that judgment, we as a whole, it's going to happen until the end of time. We are going to be judged. And I do not believe, judgment is a sin to judge someone. And the legalistic behaviors saying, do not do this, don't do that and that. We are walking on this tedious journey by grace and mercy. We are not yet glorified. So we are going to have sinful thought, and thought, word, and deed. And it's only God's grace and mercy and through the blood of Jesus Christ why we can be glorified and be even caught up in the rapture. Through his grace and mercy. So the do's and the don'ts do not work.
So that's how you see it. That's how you see it. So let me just ask you. So I mean, do we have to go to church to be a Christian? Marjorie
no.
Spicer, that question is for you.
I don't answer specifically like that, yes or no, as I'm in the courts. I'm saying people I've known met God like how Saul met God. They're in prison, they got converted. They never went to church. The Holy Spirit descended upon them and they got born again, transformed, and saved. But then, after that happens, the desire to fellowship with one another, as the word says, you should not forsake the assembly, that is important. But if it comes a time, like the lockdown, churches are locked down, this and that, the altar of one's heart, God is the resurrected spirit that dwells in somebody's heart. I can have church at home here. I've had church in my own sanctuary, in my own home, because it's the heart that God is looking on. When the churches are locked down, this is happening. We can, even in a cave, once we have that fellowship from our heart to God, that is what is important.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me now go to one of my other co-hosts, Sister Monica. Sister Monica, it's always a pleasure having you on the air with us tonight. Thank you for joining us. What are your thoughts on being a Christian?
Well, the word Christian means a follower of Christ. So being a Christian, you're going to imitate your leader and follow in the direction that he is leading. And so because I am a follower of Christ, I seek to do the things that is required of my leader, which is Christ.
Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting. All right. So now let's get back on topic just for a second. And we also want to hear from you all out there. Press 1 on your dial if you have a thought. As Christians, should we take life so seriously all the time? Monica, let me bring you in and ask you, what does it mean to be serious all the time? Have you ever had a relationship where the guy might have said to you, wow, what's wrong with you? You're always serious all the time. What does that mean? What is he saying to you?
Well, I've had the opposite experience where I'm told I laugh about everything. And yes, I'm told, people always tell me, why do you take this religion, this Christianity so serious? And I would tell them, you know, because in the midst of life there is death. I don't know, you know, when I'll be called out of this world. So I have to be serious, you know, in this aspect of my life, because the truth is, like there's a particular scripture that said, Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So because I don't know, you know, when I might pass, then I have to take this thing, you know, seriously. Not there's a scripture also, 7:22, that says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. It doesn't mean that you are not happy, but you are very conscientious of you know, the importance of walking uprightly. And that's taking it seriously for me.
Okay, awesome. We're going to go to 770-419. And welcome to tonight's broadcast. Who do we have on the air with us? And thank you for joining us. Give us your name and give us your thoughts on should Christians be serious all the time?
Good evening, everyone, and Dr. Walker. My name is Suzanne. I don't think so. I think Christians should have fun as well. I believe Jesus knew how to have fun and how to laugh, and he was all about love and making people happy and keeping people happy. I think he wants us to be happy, so why should we be serious all the time when he's all about love and being happy?
All right, Suzanne, we thank you for that. Suzanne, just before, you know, before I go to another caller, give me a couple of things that Jesus did that he didn't, do you think he took life seriously all the time? Or, and then give me something that he did that was fun.
Well, at the wedding, he turned the water into wine and he danced.
Wow, wow. Sister Monica, let's bring you in. Do you recall Jesus dancing? I don't remember that one. Did he dance?
I remember that one too, but I surely do agree with her that, you know, Jesus was a very pleasant, you know, even though sometimes, you know, I think he was turned to, you know, because there's a time and place for everything. I remember the time he went to the temple, you know, but I don't remember Jesus dancing, but I can tell you that I do dance and I love to dance, but what do I dance at and after, you know?
Right. So you, Sister Monica, did you say that you do dance and you enjoy dancing? Is that what you said?
I surely do, Dr. Walker. I'm a musician. Hello.
Okay. Sister Monica, just so you know, I have you recorded, and give me the name of your pastor so I can call him.
You call him, and then he will tell you that Sister Monica is surely a dancer. I surely do that.
I'm with you, Sister Monica. Sir Ben, let's bring you in. I mean, I wake up every morning to music, and some people wake up to the news. I wake up, I guess Sister Monica's going to call on me too, because it doesn't bother me because, you know, God is my leader, not man. So, Sir Benny, let's bring you in. I wake up every morning wanting to dance, and just if I had the energy, I'd probably dance all day. I mean, you know, am I going to be cast out?
Who is this?
Absolutely not. You know, Jesus said that we're supposed to have a merry heart. And so what is Mary said? We also know in Psalms 100, it said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land, serve him with gladness, coming forward with singing and praise. So those are things that we should embrace, singing, praising, dancing, joyous. We should be happy. We should be, he gave us a directive. He said, occupy until I come. Occupy all these beautiful things that I've made and created. I've created it for you. So you should occupy, you should enjoy, you should embrace it. And so that was his directive to us. And the instructions was just enjoy the things that I've created for you. And so a lot of times I think we get so caught up on things. A lot of the things that we're getting caught up on are not the directives that God gave us, but they are the rules that man has imposed upon us.
I agree.
Remember before, we were talking about this just the other night. When they were talking about David giving the decree to give a notice for divorce, a paper notice, that was never a part of God's plan. But because man decided, oh, well, we got to have rules and regulations and this and that. And so that's what we end up with. We end up with a bunch of rules and regulations that are supposed to, I guess, keep us in a certain set of doing things and a way of doing things, but God really has already given us rules. He said, enjoy life. Enjoy the life that I've given you, that you may have it more abundantly. So in order to have abundant life, you have to be happy. You have to be excited. You have to be engaged. And those are the things that he's given us, the fruits of our lives and our labor.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. So, Sister Monica, let me bring you back in and just, because, I mean, it's like, you know, I find that when sometimes I get around people and they are so depressed, And yet, in one breath, they're saying, oh, God is so good all the time, and all the time God is good. And then in the next breath, they're like, they're complaining about everything possible to complain about on the earth. And I'm saying, you know, and their lives are miserable. They're, you know, their finances, or they just can't seem to get it together. They talk about bills. They talk about problems at work. They talk about children problems. I mean, so how is that fun? How is that possibly fun?
Have mercy, Dr. Walker. Have mercy. Because let me tell you, the truth is I'm an encourager. I just find joy and happiness in encouraging people. But when I find people who are not willing to be encouraged, not willing to be happy, listen, I'm telling you the truth. I flee, because the Bible said we should shun the very appearance of evil. So I flee, but I try my best to encourage people. I flee from them, because I'm not going to let anyone steal my joy or my crown. And so I'm holding fast with which thou hast, like the scripture said, hold fast which thou hast, lest any man take thy crown. I'm telling you, the story was told of a little boy who was describing a Christian. And you know, a donkey face is always so long. And the little boy said to his parents, Mommy, saw a donkey and asked his parents if that was a Christian. So the mother said, why? Because he said, that's how the Christians' faces are always long. No, I'm a happy person.
Exactly.
And if
I've
anybody tries to steal my happiness, I'm telling you the truth. I'm gone.
Yes, yes. So, Sister Monica, I want to ask you this question before we go to the phone lines. Once again, we're going to ask 561-574 to stand by. Sister Monica, I've got to ask you this question. So, if I'm your friend, let's say we work together, and I've divorced 5 years ago, and, you know, I initiated the divorce. I wanted the divorce. I wanted to get out of that. And then I'm coming to realize that life is not what I thought it would be without that woman, you know. And now I'm bugging you every day about, oh, you know what, this woman was this, she was that. And, I mean, it's just like, are you just going to shun me because you're thinking that I'm evil, or are you going to listen to me for 5 years every day with my problems, Sister Monica? What are you going to do for me?
Have mercy. What am I going to do for you? Like, I really do, because I had some people over a period of time when other friends would ask me, why do you keep this friendship? And I'm like, you know, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I pray when I pray, and God gives me the strength to, you know, to continue to encourage. I even had that situation today where I'm like, Lord, how many times am I going to say the same time? But, you know, there comes a time when there's a cutoff time. And that's why I trust the Lord to guide my life, because I tell people, even today I told somebody, I'm like, listen, I am not going to ask anymore, because the Spirit has not given me the utterance. So I am truly done asking about this thing. That's it.
Sister Monica, you're willing to, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're willing to listen to my same problem every day, except the weekends when I don't see you, for 5 years, Sister Monica, because you're a Christian?
Like I said, I really am not joking. I am an encourager. Last week we spoke about long sufferingness. I'm a very long suffering person. And as long as it takes, as long as the God within me leads, I will endure. But sometime or other, Dr. Walker, you got to get it together.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on, Sister. Sister Monica, we're going to ask you to stand by, because 5 years you're going to be listening to that same drama. We're going to go to phone lines once again, 561-574. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Happy Sabbath, Dr. Walker. This is Sister Evans.
Sister Evans, thank you for joining us, Sister Evans. Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. Tonight's topic we're talking about, should we take life so seriously all the time? Sister Evans, I'm going to pose the same question to you, and I'm going to come back to Suzanne, as well as Sir Benny, with the same question. If I'm divorced and we work together and I'm telling you the same problem, for 5 years. Sister Evans, are you willing to listen to me every single day with the same problem?
Well, as you say that, Elder Dr. Walker, patience is one of the virtue of having the joy of the Lord as your strength. You posing your question to me on a daily basis, listening to you, Dr. Walker, would be like you turn a faucet on. This is how I would put it. You turn a faucet on, and that faucet keeps tipping into a bucket. One of the day, that bucket is going to be filled with that water, that tipping and tipping. Well, we do not know what we're going to do with that bucket of water as yet until that bucket of water reaches to the brim. That's what I am looking at right now. Maybe that person who you're just pouring into, go home maybe sometime and say, Lord, this individual is keep pouring this into me. Give me something to tell that individual. I need you today to give me something to tell this individual. And maybe it's a reason why I am the person or the person who you are pouring your problem into. Maybe God has put that person in your pathway so you can dump into that person. And that person have to have that strength and that joy of the Lord and that peace and that patience.
Right. All right, we're going to actually stand by, Sister Evans. We certainly appreciate your patience. We're going to go to Suzanne. Yes. Then we're going to go to 561-452. I tell you, God must not have given me the patience because I am not, excuse my bad language, I am not trying to hear you all with this situation. All right, go ahead, Suzanne.
Dr. Walker, I'm sorry. I don't have the patience to listen for no 5 years. So I'm just going to plainly tell you like it is. You need to move on and get a life because I am not going to listen to you. So if you can't come to me with something else, I don't want to hear it. Take it to somebody else. I'm sorry. My patience is through.
Well, amen. I mean, that's real. I can relate to that. We're going to ask you to stand by, but first I got to bring in my co-host. I knew that she was having technical difficulties before, but it looks like she's able to join us now. Lady C, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hi, everybody. I was having technical difficulties with my phone. I had to do a hard reset. But I made it, so I am here.
Okay, awesome. We certainly do appreciate it because we're on a hot live topic tonight. And Lady, before I go to you, let me go to this other caller, and I'll come back to you. And I'm so glad that you got your technical problem fixed. I'm gonna go to this other caller just for a second. Then we're gonna go to Sir Ben, and let's go to 561-452. Who do we have? And welcome. All right, 561-452. Perhaps they're just listening. Let's go on. Let's go down here. Lady C, let me bring it to you then. Lady C, we're talking about should Christians take life seriously all the time. And now, Lady C, if I got divorced 5 years ago, you and I worked together, and I'm pouring out my heart to you every day because I'm hurting. For 5 years, I'm still telling you my drama. Lady C, are you going to just turn me away and just like, or are you going to be a Christian and have patience and just listen to me for half of the day every day? And even on your lunch hour, I'm trying to come and find you so I can talk to you about it some more. What do you do, Lady C?
I am going to, just remain a Christian. I mean, I'm not going to just turn you away, but I am going to, you know, sit down and have a conversation with you. I am going to, first, I'm going to direct you to the Bible because that's exactly,
okay.
I mean, the healing comes from the Bible. So after I direct you to the Bible, I mean, we can talk for so long, but after a while, I'm gonna tell you, hey, you know, you're better than this. You know, you gotta be able to find a way to breathe this. You know, I'm gonna still speak life into it. I'm gonna just speak life into it.
Okay, so
I'm gonna
keep it as
a Christian, like.
Right. So now it's time to get off from work, and I'm still hurting. I did my job as best I could during the course of the day, but in year four, you know, you're trying to get out. from work, because you got to go home, do whatever you have to do, feed the cats and the animals and whatever you got to do, or kids and the husband. So I'm trying to find you and say, hey, Lady C, wait, I want to tell you something else. Lady C, and you know every time I come, it's going to take about 15 or 20 minutes. What do you do, Lady C?
I'm going to try to be a listening ear. I'm going to just probably give the person my number. Because that person is hurting.
Right.
You know, the worst part the worst thing you can do to a person is shut them out when they're hurting on work. You know, you don't want to kick a bird when they're down, or, you know, hurt a person when they're down. Trying to be that listening ear, even if you have to give that person your number. Because all that person needs to do is vent. Allow them to vent.
Okay, so now it's 11:59 at night, and you sleep, and you're in the rhythm, the rapid eye movement rhythm 4, you're the deepest area of sleep, and now your phone is ringing off the hook. Come on now, Lady C, what you going to do? And they need to talk.
I'm
going to
tell y'all this, okay, because I know what I'm going to do. I've had friends that, you know, was going through marital problems, and I've gotten 3 o'clock phone calls in the morning. In regards to their problems. And what did I, although I was sleepy, extremely tired, I just sat there and I listened. I just allowed them to vent because they needed to get it off their chest.
Wow, I must be a totally different person. And I'm a therapist, and I get paid to listen. But it's like, I can only go so far. Sir Ben, let's bring you in, and then we're going to go to 856-316. Sir Ben, let's bring you in. Wait a minute. Sir Ben, are you there? All right, Sir Ben, we'll come back to him in a moment. Let's go to 856-316. 856-316. Are you there?
Hi, this is Deborah. Hi, everybody. Hi, Dr. Walker.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for joining us, Deborah.
I'm kind of like Lady C, because I've gotten those calls too early, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're tired and you're sleepy, but yeah, you listen. And I'm not going to say I'm going to be patient with the person every time, because there may be, I'm human, and sometimes I may be a little bit patient, a little bit impatient. But definitely will try to be there for that person as long as it takes. I think about how long God waited for me and how patient he was with me. And he could have given up on me, but he didn't. And I thank God, because he didn't give up on me. So he didn't put us here to give up on each other. He put us here to love one another and be patient and be kind. And so, yeah, I think that's I try to be. That's what I try to be. Not that I get it right every time, but I definitely try to be patient.
Okay, so Deborah, I got to pose this to you now. As a Christian, you're going to try to be a Christian. I get it. What if you're single? And there's a guy on your job that you, let's say, for example, we're giving this hypo, you were making this up, and then Suzanne, we're going to ask you the same question. This guy, let's say you stand about 5'4", 5'5", or 5'6", but the guy is only 5'4", but you don't have a man. And this is the sweetest guy on the job, and he really adores you with, like, every breath he takes. And so you don't have a man, you haven't had a man for years, but this man is in your path, and he's desperately trying for the last 2 years to try to just get your phone number, Deborah. Now, Deborah, what do you do? What do you do? He's just trying to get a date.
There's nothing wrong with being friends. Now, I may not be attracted to him, and I think I would be honest with that, but being friends with him, there's nothing wrong with being friends. Absolutely, give him my phone number.
But Deborah, as a Christian, couldn't it possibly be that God, you don't have a man, you want a man, but because he's 5'4", you're 5'6", and God may have put him, is it possible God put him in your path and you're ignoring this man?
No, possibly, but God will have to show me that. That will have to definitely come from God. I'm not particularly attracted to short men, but I mean, I'm open to whoever God sends my way.
Wait a minute. How are you going to be open if the 5'4 guy's been pursuing you for 2 years? Can't you be patient and give him a chance? Can't you just give him a chance?
If I'm not attracted to Dr. Walker, if I'm not attracted to him and you're saying God put him in my way, then I think that God will show me that. And there would be an attraction. If that is something that God intended for me to have, then there is something about this man that God would make attractive to me. And if that was God that truly put that man in my path.
All right, Suzanne, we're going to bring you back in. And Suzanne, we're going to ask you basically the same question. You know, you see your friends with a man. And this guy, because he's short, I mean, God made short people too. And just because you stand at 5'6", I mean, the guy's the sweetest guy. Most women would want him, but he wants you. Can you be a Christian and he can show you a good time?
No, I don't date anyone I work with, number one. That's out of the question. I can be friendly with him because we work together, and that's all.
Wow, Suzanne, that's like. But what about if he's willing to quit the job to pursue you? I mean, men, that's what we do. We try to pursue the woman. I mean, give the guy a chance.
That's okay. We still used to work together.
Something ain't right about this. Something is just not right. Sir Ben, are you there? All right, perhaps Sir Ben is not there. Monica, let me bring you back in and ask the question, Monica. Monica, would you give a poor man a chance? I mean, being a Christian, you would sit on the phone or you would be there with a coworker for 5 years as a Christian, but this man now is trying to pursue you, and you're crying out at night, God, I want a man. And this man is like, you know, he's just short, which there's nothing wrong with short people.
Yeah, but it's not the height right now. First of all, am I a single person? I must be, right? Because I'm a Christian, right? But who said I was looking for somebody? I'll be honest with you, Dr. Walker. Let me tell you, my phone ain't gonna be on no 3 o'clock for nobody in the morning. and my friends really know that. Listen, there's a time and place for everything. You got to get it together sometime or the other. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll be sleeping. I'm sorry.
Okay. So maybe there isn't anything wrong with me because I was beginning to wonder. I mean, I know Suzanne say that she's not going to deal with it. And I know that I honestly cannot. And I'm a therapist. I get paid to listen to people and their problems, but I get tired after a while if you give them certain assignments to do. And they're not doing it. It's like I'm even tired of taking their money because it's like I'm going over the same thing over and over again. I just don't get it. Let me go to the phone lines once again. 561-452. Is the caller there? 561-452.
Where we are.
All right. Perhaps they're not. They're just listening in. Sir Ben, if you're there, you can chime in. Lady C, let me bring you back in. Lady C, I gotta ask this question. Should Christians take life seriously all the time? And what does that mean to be serious?
I think Christians should take life serious all the time. I mean, as far as, you know, living your life. I mean, but the problem is, what is a serious Christian? You know, we live our day based on how we feel, you know. But if it comes to someone needing us and needing us to be there, I think we need to take that serious.
Right,
you
okay,
know,
all right.
If it comes to someone
right.
wanting to argue with us, we need to be able to know how to redirect our emotions and not lash out at that person, you know?
All right.
So the question is,
okay.
What is a serious Christian?
Okay, all right. What is a serious Christian, in your opinion?
That's what I'm trying to find out myself.
Okay. All right, Sister Evans, let's bring you in here. What, in your opinion, Sister Evans is a serious Christian? I mean, is somebody that just goes to church every day, 24/7, if the church is open? What is a serious Christian?
And in my opinion, Dr. Walker, a serious Christian is not. Christian is Christ-like. You have a lot of people who are religious, and therefore they wear their religion on their sleeve. They wear a long dress, they have a tie on their head or a hat, they appear to be a very serious person, because if they are serious enough, then you will look at them as a serious Christian. But to me, that's not a real Christian. That's just a religion. You know, religion tells you how to dress, how to walk, how to eat, how to stand. All of that is religion. A real Christian is a person that wears the joy of the Lord. As you see that individual, you know that that person is a Christian. You should be joyful. You should be happy. You should be patient. Ezra, he wrote something in the book of Nehemiah 8 about the joy of the Lord. And also Psalm 27 tells you about the joy of the Lord. A Christian, you could spot them a mile away. And just looking at that individual, you can know that that person is a Christian, because their behavior, their personality just shows Jesus all over. So I don't think a Christian person to bear the name Christian should be just serious all day. I don't think that. I don't think so.
I agree with that. I certainly do agree with that as well. I don't think that anybody should be serious all day. And then, of course, it depends on how we define the word serious. Let's go to the phone line, 786-210. Who do we have with us and welcome? 786-210.
This is Marjorie Spicer.
Okay, Miss Marjorie, thank you for joining us. Can you define for us the word serious? How would you define serious as it relates perhaps to a Christian?
I will not answer definitely the word serious. I'm just making a quick synopsis. When I read the word of God, I'm called in a particular area, and several of our people tonight online are called in a particular area. We are called to do specific stuff in the kingdom. Now, when I read the word of God, I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun. People always say, how come you're always smiling? I might have a lot of difficulties, but it's just, I don't know that I'm smiling, but I'm doing that. But there comes a time, I remember when Jesus kicked over the turn over the tables in the temple. And I'm that sort of person. I will stand up, put my foot down, and when I say this, it's that. I don't say much, but the person knows what I'm saying. So, it's a life in Christ. One cannot say, if you see it, I'm not talking about the donkey face now. Not that. Because
right.
As a child, you don't have to smile. Like how a lot of us, we smile a lot of no. But deep within, what comes from within, the Holy Spirit, it goes out to others. We shine somehow, whether we are quiet or not. So there comes a time that although I have a lot of, I dance in my house, dance here, and I'm just a joyful person. They say happiness is when something happens. I don't truly have to be happy, but I'm have joy, peace, contentment. And I'm always I always say to people when they call me, I listen. I say I have no complaints, but I don't tell a person that has a complaint. I listen and I do what I have to do. Hard and fast rule how I'll handle the situation, depending. I've served for 20-odd years. Just one person. I have several people. 20-odd years. And for about 15 years was the same thing. God gave me the patience. God, not me. He gave me, through the Holy Spirit, the patience to deal with it. Today, she has come out like good gold. I didn't make it happen. But because God instilled in me that I should not cast her away. That's God, not me. The patience.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Hold your thoughts. We're going to try to get back to you. Lady C, let me bring you back in for a moment. And, tonight we're asking the question. Should, as Christians, should we take life seriously all the time? So I would identify serious when, for example, it's not a joke, when it has to deal with a reality for us. It can't be a joke. It has to be something that that you don't want to laugh about on that occasion because it's serious. For example, if you got a traffic ticket and you got multiple traffic tickets that come up to about $500, I mean, that's not a joke. And, you know, you don't even make that in 2 months. That's some serious stuff. And it's like, if you don't pay those tickets, you're going to jail. That's serious. That's not a joke. When you step in that courtroom, it's real. This is a real thing. So, I mean, serious, I think we can differentiate between what is serious. Yes. You know, someone gets cut, and, I mean, they cut an artery. I mean, we know that can be serious. Okay, this requires serious medical attention. But if you just get if a child gets a scratch or a scrape on their knee or their arm, then that might not just be as serious. You put something Neosporin or put something on it, and then put a Band-Aid or leave it open so the air can, you know, and get the air and heal itself. You know, you say, well, okay, this isn't that serious. You can even bring words of comfort. Since Monica talks about, you can bring words of comfort to a person when you can assure them that everything is going to be all right. You just got to have faith. You got to believe. Now, I'm not going to spend 5 years talking to the same person about the same problem. That has happened to me for 12 years, a colleague of mine. And then I had to catch myself to realize, This is like a vampire. It's sucking the blood out of me. It really is. It's just like, you know, this one person. And then after a while, I started seeing them calling. I wasn't even answering the phone because I knew what the deal was. You know, so, I mean, to thy own self, you do have to be true. So, Lady C, I want to go to you now and say, now we look at things seriously. You know, we know that you've got to go to court. It's more than likely serious. If you get a scratch, it may not be as serious, but if you cut that vein on an artery, that's serious. You know, you have a fender bender. If somebody got seriously injured, that's serious. You know, so now the question becomes, as a Christian, do we have to take life seriously all the time? And my response to that is absolutely not. Absolutely not. I believe that God came that we have life and have it more abundantly, and that means to enjoy life. Now, again, we might get confused on what does that mean to enjoy life? To each person, it could be subjective. That means what you think is supposed to be. Now, Lady C, I'll give you a chance here. Now, having said all of this, tell me what your thoughts are. Should a Christian take life seriously all the time?
Okay. You guys are seriousness may be different from mine. I'm going to still stand by my word. I say yes, because you got to live a life according to who you are, you know? I mean, if I go out there and get in a car accident, yes, I'm going to take that serious, you know? Because, listen, at that moment, when you get in a car accident, if you're going to be serious and own up to you being in the wrong, or you're going to blame the other person, you know? Talking to my friend and we're joking around, maybe I'm not being so serious. But as far as taking Christianity so serious, I feel like you should. Because you should be able, as a Christian, face anything that's getting thrown at your way, you should be able to handle it. You know? You should be able to handle it as a Christian. You know? And not just say, okay, this right here, because she's coming to me with a problem, I'm going to push her aside because I'm tired of her. You know? Because that person that you're tired of could be on the possibility of about to commit suicide, and she really needed that last conversation. You know? So, yes, I feel like we should always take life seriously, not in a bad way, but in a good way.
Wow, that's interesting. That is interesting. Now, you know, and I'm just thinking, wow. You know, so a lot of times, like Sister Monica said earlier,
we
talked about how the little boy identified a Christian by looking at the face of a donkey, and it's like they don't smile. And I've encountered that they're it's like they're serious all the time, and I'm wondering to myself, why are they so serious? Why are they not smiling? I see husbands and wives who've been in this church forever, and they don't. Wow, we want to hear from you all out there. Give us your thoughts on that. You know, Deborah, let me bring you back in for a moment. I've seen couples that have been in the church forever. They don't tell a joke. They don't smile. They look just so serious. They look like robots. And I'm like, I'm trying to avoid them. Is something wrong with me, Deborah?
No.
No, listen, I was, when I was young, and I was always active in the church, singing in the choir, always growing up, singing in the little people's choir and everything, but there was this one usher who was just so mean, and I didn't want to, and it made me not want to be saved, because I was saying, if that's how being saved is, I don't want that. I don't want to be saved. And but there was a deacon in the church who always took up time with us, and he was like over our choir, but he was always so jovial and so nice and just so sweet to us. And it's like when we sang, and we was horrible singing, but his face would light up, and he would have this big smile on his face when we were singing, and that made me want to be a Christian. So, no, I say you shouldn't avoid them, because maybe something is missing that they need. If you can show them love, then maybe whatever it is that they're missing that's not, that we think is not there. Because when you're looking at a couple, that's not saying that they are unhappy. That maybe just be their personality.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But they scare me. I didn't want any of that. I even thought, seeing couples like that in the church, it's like growing up as a kid, you know, you're 12 and 13, you're seeing their faces. It's like, I don't ever want to get married. So, you know, Christianity can be something that you look at the people and you say, wow, they're too serious. Look at them. They look like robots. So as kids, we don't know any better, but we're talking about the people. We don't know we're judging them, but we're talking about them, because the same usher that you're talking about, I had one of those in church growing up, and we used to do things. We used to be kind of mischievous in church. And it's like the lady's name was Miss Roker or Miss Rover, something like that, right? Well, she's passed right now. God bless her, right? But that lady was so mean, and I said the same thing, Deborah. I don't want to be a Christian if I got to act like her. That lady is too serious. And so she used to, if you're chewing gum in church, she'd go to all the young people with a tissue, give me that gum, give me that gum, give me that gum. And so, so it was a group of us. We were just some bad kids. And so the we did it, we would turn around. So she could see. So she could see us chewing the gum. And as soon as she got rid of, she came and got the gum. We put we would always bring like a pack of gum just for her, and we put more gum in our mouth. And then after a while, all the little kids in the church were doing the same thing. So we were getting on her nerves on purpose because she was too serious. So,
right.
I know.
Okay,
maybe
can I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, now listening to what you guys say, now I understand what you guys mean by seriousness. Because
since I came in so late,
I came on in scenarios of, you know, the scenarios of people who, you know, calling somebody that type of serious. But, yeah, I agree with you guys. Now I understand what you're saying. If it's someone that's cold-hearted inside, can't have an expression, always take life as that type of serious, no, I can't be that serious. You know,
people
shouldn't take life that serious. But now I understand what y'all are talking about. Because that's like coming on the radio show so late, it's like you're trying to play catch-up and trying to figure out, okay, you know.
I know, and I was trying to break it down for you. And I figured, you know, sometimes it takes a while for people to catch on to certain things, and I'm glad that you did. But it's like we drove that poor lady crazy, because the minute she take one piece of gum out of our mouth, then we got a pack of gum. We had a bag. Everybody knew, bring a bag of gum to church, because Sister Roker, whatever her name was, Rover or Roker, she gonna be on it. And sure enough, when we walk in there, she had on her black and white uniform, and everybody was like, yeah, there she is, you know. And we just, she told my mom, and she told a lot of the other kids' moms. But guess what? We were smart enough to hide it from our moms. I mean, come on, we kids. We know how to do stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
tell our moms, whop us.
Sister Monica, let me bring you in. Sister Monica, were you an angel in church, or did you take life seriously all the time as a Christian? I mean, were you just always a good girl growing up?
No. I was mischievous.
All right, let me see if Sister Monica is here. Sister Monica, are you there?
Hello? I am.
Yes,
I
we can hear
here,
you now.
Dr.
Go
Walker.
Ahead, quickly. Huh?
I said I'm requesting prayers on my behalf tonight because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I tell you the truth.
Right.
I really, my whole heart desire is to be saved. But I really
right.
think that every day God's people should be joyful. And I tell you, I make it a possibility every day to make sure that nobody steals my joy. Nobody. I'm telling you, if somebody annoys me in church, I get up and I go someplace else because, you know, I'm not you. You're different. You don't laugh about everything, you know, and I don't laugh about everything. I'm just a happy person. And I'm praying God help me to, you know, develop a balance, but ain't nobody going to steal my joy. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So I have a question
right.
about that. You said I'm a sinner saved by grace. What does that mean?
Yeah. A little bit better.
Yeah. So, Benny, are you there? Are you back with us?
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I was talking, but it wouldn't let me say anything. I was speaking. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we were trying to get you. I don't know what happened. So a sinner saved by grace. So, Sister Monica, that was a question posed. You're just a sinner saved by grace. And just give them a response. We don't want to get off topic too much because that's another show that we can have coming up. All right, perhaps we've somewhere. Sister Monica?
I just never heard the question, Dr. Walker.
Okay, you didn't hear the question. Sir Benny asked the question, what does it mean to be a sinner saved by grace?
I'm not perfect, you know. I'm just trying to follow on to know the Lord every day. I still have flaws. I mean, I'm trying my best not to sin willfully, but you know, I am not perfect. Only God is perfect, and I do make mistakes sometimes. You know, things that I do things that offend people, and I never intend to offend them. You know, like somebody
right,
said the other day, I offered somebody a ride, and she said, no, she didn't want a ride, but she said, I kept calling her, and she wouldn't answer. I said, what happened? She said, I said that she's trying to be independent. I'm like, listen, how could a grown woman, you know, be telling a grown woman that you're trying to be independent? She said, I offended her, and I apologize. She said, I meant, sister, you meant what you said. I said, okay, God. And she said, what you
wow.
mean? I said, you must be God for judging, telling me I never meant what I said, you know?
Right. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sister Monica. All of you all, we're going to ask to stand by. Let's go to 407-862. Who do we have with us and welcome? 407-862.
Sister Marva.
Sister Marva,
hello,
thank
everyone.
You for joining us. Sister Marva, we are running out of time. I don't mean this on your behalf. We are running out of time. So we're going to ask, everything has gone on timer now. So if you go past 15 to 18 seconds, it's going to cut you off automatically because you'll hear a pause.
Okay.
All of you, all of us.
Okay.
So, Sister Marva, just quickly, your thought. What does, I mean, should we as Christians take life seriously all the time? I mean, was I like a horrible kid in church because I played with the usher all the time?
We need to be sober-minded. We need to be sober. And sober means not, you know, giddy and foolish. It doesn't mean you have to have a long face. Okay.
Right. It paused. It's gonna start doing that, you all, because we're running out of time. Let's go to Lady C. So was I looked at as being a bad kid in church? because I was kind of the ringleader to get all the other kids to bring their packs of gum. I mean, I was only 12. Who knows how to be, what's this Marjorie just said, we have to be something. You know, I mean, I don't know any of that stuff at that time at 12.
You knew what you was doing at 12 years old, just like all the other 12-year-olds. I knew if I was the ringleader, I know what I'm doing. So, yes, you are literally instigating and causing trouble. I'm not saying you're a bad child, but you are causing some trouble.
Okay, but guess what? It's like a lot of them characters in the Bible that were problems. Those are the ones God picked to be leaders.
Man.
He picked a whole lot of them. They were really like, wow. I just
That's
couldn't
true.
Believe. And it's like, my goodness, I can't believe David? I mean,
mm-hmm.
and he said David was a man after his own heart. David kind of reminded me. I mean, I'm like, wow. See, we just don't know how God's thinking is. I mean, I used to be the ringleader, and it's like we found other stuff to do to get on them older people's nerves because they were too serious all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like as children, we had fun. So let me go here now and bring in Sir Benny. Are you there? We're not able to get Sir Benny. All right. Let's go to Miss Marjorie, 786-210. I mean,
yes.
does it mean that you're horrible because we were bad kids and today I'm licensed as a chaplain, licensed as a minister? You know, and it's like, and I was the class clown forever in school, elementary school, middle school, high school, and then I became a teacher and I was still the class clown. So, Sister Marjorie, yes. Was there something wrong with me? Because I like
no,
to
no,
laugh.
No. My personal experience with my grandmother in church, she'd pinch you and you couldn't cry. But what happened? She went to the market. At home, she never wanted me at about 10 years old to play with the other children downstairs. I remember that when I was about 10, 11 or so. She never wanted to play. And when she went to the market, I opened that window and came out of the window. Showed that window.
Right.
Not hearing. Went on the house top and came downstairs. And as soon as I looked down the street and see her coming, I ran back up and ran up the stairs and I went inside. So I was a bad little kid. And I see God has transformed. Yes. My grandmother was cruel. She would get
right.
a stick and hit you. So I had to be, you know. But then I always hide and jump go through the window. Yes, I did.
All right.
Yep.
We're going to actually stand by. Let's go to 786-319. Who do we have with us? 786-319.
Yeah. Hello, Dr. Walker, and to all your guests, co-hosts, and all your guests. I just want to say I'm enjoying the show, and I wanted to share something with you. I remember, this is Sister
Who
Marjorie.
Who do we have with us this evening? Your name?
This is Sister Marjorie
Cross.
Okay.
Sister Marjorie
okay.
Cross. Yeah. Anyway,
okay.
I just wanted to share this with you. I remember growing up as a little child, and we had Brother Calvin and Sister Joan. Those two were the most serious couple in church. And they wouldn't smile. We used to say, they're so serious. And don't you know, years later, I heard those two got married. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. What a house that is. Yeah, I said,
right.
If they grow up their children like that, that would be a miserable house. I would not like to be a part of that house.
Right.
So I'll never forget them. They wouldn't even smile. You know, it's like they were so serious. And I'll never forget them. And I was a little girl, and I still remember them. You know, and I heard they got married. I'm like, what? How could those two serious Christians get married? So, you know, some people just get, you know, they think if they smile, they're going to commit a sin or something, you know. Some people are really serious. But now, you know, God wants us to be happy.
Right.
So.
I agree with you. Let's go to Suzanne.
What?
Suzanne, let's ask her this question. I mean, were you ever bad in church as a kid or even as an adult?
Yes, as a kid. I mean, we used to sit in the back of the church and play. And my dad, he was so strict. All he had to do was look at us over his glasses. He'd slide those glasses down over his nose and look at us. Well, we knew we were already in trouble. So
exactly.
we just
knew we were going to get it when we got home, so we just go ahead and act up anyway. So,
I mean, that's the thing. Once your mom knows that you already in trouble with Soroka, I already knew, okay, once it's wrong, I'm going to tell your mother on you, boy. I'm going to tell her. And it's like, oh, Soroka, give me another chance. Please just give me another chance. I will be a good little boy. And you know you're not telling the truth. And she gave me another chance, but she was a good Christian woman because she kept giving me chances and chances and chances, you know, until she just got tired of giving me chances. You know, and then I would learn enough about scriptures that I say, Sister Walker, aren't you supposed to forgive us 70 times 7? I didn't even know how to calculate that. But let me go here. So, let me bring Sister Monica in. Sister Monica, was I just using scripture to my advantage?
No, Dr. Walker, you weren't. I mean, as a child, experiencing an adult who is supposed to be an example to you, just always being mean to you. I mean, you may be mischievous, but you're learning something, and she should realize that you're no fool, you know, because love beget love. She's being really naughty to you. So, I mean, the word should help her to be a much more kind. I hope it did too.
Right. Awesome.
Dr. Bill,
we can hear you now.
I wanted to answer your question. The answer to your question is no. And if we just look in the Word, in Matthew verse 18 and verse 2, it says, Jesus says that we must become as like little children in order to enter the kingdom of God. And so Jesus on a regular basis called little children to him. So we sometimes as adults have become so clothed in our mental ability to think what we think God wants to do that we forgot to have that childlike persona that God can work with us. The reason a lot of adults are having so many issues is because we forgot to enjoy the things of this world, childlike behavior, the little things. So I think
you're right.
God creates you to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're going to ask you to stand by just a second so that it doesn't cut you out. Let me go because we have to bring you back in. That's what's happening tonight. Let me go here. Lady C, I mean, I'm just looking at all of this here. So I want to ask each of you all, if I may, then what does it mean, because we're about 17 minutes before we end the show tonight, Lady C will bring us home at the end. What does it mean to you, Lady C, to be a Christian? I mean, if you're not going to take it seriously, then how should we be as Christians? And that's going to be a question we ask all of you all. How should we be as Christians? Like a lifestyle.
Well, to me, as it is, just to constantly stay prayerful. Keep your heart alignment with God. Because, I mean, we're going to sin regardless. We're living in a life of sin. And don't tell people they're not saved. Because it's not you to judge a person and tell them they're not saved. It's God.
Okay.
As long as they know that God do exist and they believe in Jesus and God and they believe in Jesus, they are saved already. You
Amen.
Know,
right,
so keep up with your heart alignment with God.
Right. Sister Margie at 407-862, we're going to ask you in, what should a Christian's lifestyle be if you don't be serious all the time?
It should be joyful, happy, playful, not mean. And,
right.
You know, a curmudgeon, so to speak, you know, because I went to a church one Sabbath, and this lady, I'd never been to that church before, I was visiting, and the lady came in, and she said, "You're sitting in my seat." She didn't say, "Hello, how are you? I've never seen you before." You know, she just told me how to get up out of her seat. She'd been sitting there for 15 years.
Yes.
Me.
So we have those. We have those.
And I wouldn't say that.
Did you get up?
Yes, I did. And I never went back to that church.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sister Marjorie, we're going to have to stand by.
I found another church to go to.
All right, Lady C, I got to bring you in on that one. Just quickly, please. Lady C, I mean, we're talking about taking life so seriously now. That lady sounds like she took life seriously. So, I mean, me and my little gang of bad kids, we would have just gotten that lady. All of us would have just sat on that road or sat behind her and made all kind of noise. All the people in there that took, I'm telling you now, all the people in church that took life so seriously, we just knew how to get those people.
Yep.
And they say, there was that Walker boy again. There he goes. You know, he's full of the devil. But we have fun. And if we would have sat behind that lady and just made all kind of noises. And you know what? You got to be careful what you do, because my youngest daughter, she turned out to be just like me. Oh, my goodness. A class clown. And this girl in elementary school, she started problems. You know, we talk about taking life so seriously, though. But I couldn't punish her all the time because I'm saying, this child is just like me. In third grade, she found a way. She would be a class clown, but would seldom, just like me, ever get caught because we could wear a serious face because we did it so much. So now she had it one day where she told her class, listen, when the teacher turns around and goes on the board, on the chalkboard to write, everybody, she already planned it. She was a ringleader. Everybody's going to make sounds. They're going to make animal sounds. And then we're going to blame it on, there was this boy in her room that was the smartest kid in the class. She's saying everybody blames it on Orville. You know, so when the teacher's on the chalkboard at a certain time, they're making these animal sounds. And the teacher's like, where is this noise? Who's doing it? And the whole class, that's Orville. And I'm just saying, when my daughter finally got caught and they called me up, you know, I had to wear a serious face, but I couldn't even punish the child because I knew she was going to do it again, and she did, but she was an A student. So listen, let me tell you, and today she is a mother, and her kids are class clowns, and I'm like, help us, Holy Ghost. But they're all straight-A students. So Sister Monica, let me bring you in here. So, Sister Monica, do we have to take life so seriously? What should the lifestyle of a Christian be?
Well, I was a class clown, too, and I've always been a Christian. And I'm the first one to break out to laugh. You know?
Okay.
The
right.
Scripture said in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And as I go from day to day, that's my prayer. Lord, let this mind be in me. I am thriving to be like my Heavenly Father. Therefore, by His grace, I will imitate Him so well that I will not be called a donkey, but I will be called a true representative. My Heavenly Father, which is in heaven.
Amen. Sir Benny, let's bring you in. Sir Benny, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sir Benny, we're having technical difficulties with Sir Benny. Let's go to Sister Marjorie at 786-210. 786-210.
Yes, sir. Yes, doctor.
Yes, well, I want to ask you that same question. I mean, I didn't turn out so bad being a class clown and all of those crazy things that I did. I mean, I didn't hurt anybody. I mean, I had people laughing all the time. I was threatened that they were going to call my mother, and I kind of talked my way out of stuff like that most of the time. And my mother knew because I had her laughing a lot of times. I would go home and blame it on the teacher. Mama, the teacher is boring. Mama, come on now. I'm sure you said it. I don't know where I got all that from. But Sister Marjorie, let me just ask you the question. Have you ever experienced just not taking life so seriously and realizing that, you know what, it's a journey.
Amen.
Did God intend for us to just be robots? He would have made us robots if that was the case. Don't you think?
Yes, sir.
There's joy in the Lord, and even if we are not Christians, just to be complainless, be grateful, be thankful each day and a heart of thankfulness. It makes such difference. Coming back to my grandmother, she was a little witch. I had no father. My father left us at an early age. I don't know my father. And my mother worked hard, says my grandmother.
Right.
And she was a cruel little grandmother, but I didn't realize it then. I used to play tricks, like jumping through the, you know, and things like that. So as
right.
I grew up and on, God's mercy, God's grace,
amen.
God's love,
amen.
Protection kept me.
That's
to
what
this
I'm talking
day.
About.
It kept me to this day. It's just God's mercy that
that's what I'm
alive
talking about.
And everybody look at me and they marvel because some people know what I've been through and they marvel to say, Sister Marjorie, an angel must be watching around you. It's only God. God is faithful. That's all I have to declare to help all of us who trust Him to be where we are.
Exactly.
Amen.
You know, and I look at God as this merciful Father, and I say,
amen.
You know, and I wonder, used to wonder, how would He call David a man after His own heart? And I discovered to my own realization that David had a repenting heart. He was always
amen.
In communication with God, always in communication with Him. And
amen.
I'm saying that was just so, so beautiful for David to always be in communication with God. Let's see if we can bring in Sir Ben again. Sir Ben,
yes.
Are you
yes.
with us? Let's see if we can bring him in.
I am. Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you now.
Hello?
We can hear you better
yes.
now. So,
yes.
Sir Ben, just in a nutshell, in your opinion, how should a Christian's lifestyle be? I mean, I was bad, but I thought I was a Christian. And, you know, I'm probably still not as good as some people might want me to be. And I'm an adult. But I have fun.
Okay.
I enjoy life. So... what do you say to that?
And that is the blueprint of a Christian. We should be so full of joy and happiness. We should be walking around just saying, woo, thank you, Lord. We should be so excited in our daily walk.
Yes.
We should be outside and looking at the grass and just going, woo, thank you for that.
Yes.
We should be so excited, but we're not. We are not, but we should be. We should be so full of joy. We should be so just grateful for everything that we have, our cars, our life, our movement, our being. We should be walking, singing a song of praise. We should be talking in praise. We should be excited. We should have that joy, joy, joy down in our heart. Where? Down
right.
in our heart.
Right.
Everything about us
right.
should be happy. And we're not. We should
yeah.
be like the class clown. We should be happy.
Exactly, exactly, because even as a child growing up in the church, it's like, and then when I look at the kids who the other people would identify as bad, I say, those children, they're not even misguided. They're just
yeah.
having fun because it's boring. I'm the preacher, and I can't even sit still for a long time with listening to some other people. And it's like, oh, my goodness, what do these people, do they ever pray, you know, and they're at home? Because they get up there and they pray for like 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, what is this? You know? I mean, like, help me, Holy Ghost. I mean, like, what are they doing? And then, you know, sometimes it's like, did that person, you come late? Because, I mean, I used to really go to church late sometimes. It's like, I'm hoping that I just come and the preacher's almost finished preaching. And then you get there and then somebody's praying. It's like you whisper to one of your friends who feel the same way you feel. Was that the sermon? Is he done? Like, man, he ain't even started yet. That's the elder just praying. Oh
yeah.
Man, the preacher is already 1:30. Help us, somebody. So, Sister Marva, are you there? Sister Marva, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sister Marva, what do you think? Does that mean that I'm just not filled with? The lady used to say I'm filled with the devil, but I don't think I was filled with no devil. I was just having fun. So maybe I was filled with the Holy Ghost and she didn't know it, huh? Possibly.
No. I remember those childhood days when we would do those things, and our parents were so strict.
Yeah.
That just like the one with the glasses looking over the glasses. You know what you were going to get when you got home.
Oh, absolutely.
broomstick.
It's, it's as if you were embarrassing your parents for being happy. And
right.
You grow up thinking, being so sober. Actually, I'll give you, I tell you, one time I was at work, and I have maintained this soberness so much. This I happened to say the word damn for something.
Oh, my goodness,
and
a sinner.
A sinner. And I didn't know, I was just upset. And the other nurse said to me, "You said that?" She said, "You said that? I thought you were Jesus Christ's sister." That's what she said to me. I thought you were, and I had to laugh because I didn't realize they were looking at me as being so serious.
And that word is in the Bible.
And that was a bad word for me to say. But
that word is in the Bible. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just, you know what, this is, go ahead. You're about to be cut off, but go ahead.
No, I'm saying we need to not be so serious all the time.
That's what I'm talking about.
Be joyful.
Amen. Joyful.
Yes.
Oh, it's good. Suzanne, let's bring you back in. Suzanne, what will you take from this program tonight, if anything? What will you take about should Christians take life so seriously? What will you take away from this program?
Well, I'm thankful for those
as a whole, we all should be joyful and happy and spread joy and happiness a lot more instead of walking around with our nose and heads up in the clouds and being all stiff and everything. Let's just be happy and share more happiness with others.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, my kids used to tell me, "Daddy, my friends like when you preach because you don't preach long and you make it fun." And it's like people want to come and hear something fun. Let's go to Sir Ben. What, if anything, you take away from this here that you can leave with our audience? Because we got about 2.5 minutes, and Lady C's going to close us out.
Well, very quickly, I'm...
We're getting the ring on his end. We're not able to hear him. Okay, I'm sorry. We're not able to hear him. Let's go now to Sister Marjorie at 786-210. What, if anything, should you take away from this? Just quickly, because we're running out of time.
There's joy in the Lord. There's joy in the Lord. There is all joy. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. And
amen.
All joy in the word of God. The Holy Spirit gives comfort, joy, peace, long suffering, and all the rest, the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Right. Amen. Amen. Sister Monica, what do you take from this, if anything, that, you know, you can leave with our audience?
I would tell, like I always say, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And when people
Amen.
Ask me, "Why are you always so happy?" I tell them, I praise the Lord always and complain so little, so I have so much more joy than
tomorrow. Awesome. Sister Marjorie Cross, and then we'll get to Lady C to close us out. Sister Marjorie Cross, what do you take from here, if anything, that you want to leave with our audience tonight?
I would just say, to be a Christian, you don't have to be so serious. As Psalms 100, you just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And we should always try to stay happy, because the Lord does not want us to be sad. He wants us to be happy. So the
all
joy
the time.
Of the Lord
all
is
the
my
time.
Strength. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, on that note, God, Lady C, if you'll just take us home for the night. And we're so glad that you fixed your technical problem, because we're glad to have you here.
All righty. This is what I came up with. I took some of it offline, but I did come up with my own version. When it comes to taking life too seriously or not, just remember these moments. When happy moments arise, praise God. During difficult moments, seek God. During those quiet moments, worship God. During the painful moments, trust God. And during every moment, always remember to thank God.
Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful piece. I've seen that as well.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
That is so beautiful.
Yes.
I want to thank you for
Amen.
That. And listen here, we're out of time. Please, I hope that you all got a lot from tonight's program as much as I did. And we certainly
yes.
look forward to seeing you all back here next Friday night. Of course, if you can't be here next Friday night, we've got a Thursday program for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show where we talk about, it's always about relationships. And those of you all that have joined us this week to take out a sponsorship, we certainly want to thank you all for that. You're keeping us on the air with your sponsorship and your support as we make plans for projects in the community to give back. And that's what a percentage of your dollars will be doing. So, listen, we're completely out of time. I want to thank all of you all for being a part of the program tonight. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, please call in early enough. Listen, I want to say to you all, we've got the International Divine Intervention Day coming up next Saturday, 6:30 to 8:30. If you've been missing those programs every other Saturday, you've been really missing a treat where God comes in early enough for us, and he's always there for us. So listen here, join us next week for your one-hour inspirational program. So until next Thursday or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
everyone. God bless
night,
you
everyone.
All. Great show tonight. God bless you all. Have a good night.
Yes.
Stay safe and be blessed, everyone.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.